It happened again. It happened again. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Rothsapp. I muted myself per usual. I'm back though. Like, look, I noticed it before you all even told me that because of the delay. Sean Rothsapp here. Glad to have you all here. Lots of news to talk about. Karrion Kross, UFC, Paramount deal, which if you watched The Hump recently, you may have saw me, sort of predict this because of, I don't know, maybe my own experience and selfishness after covering MMA. We'll discuss that. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I see Blake Axelrod in the chat as well. Whether you're watching on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook, on anywhere, leave a thumbs up. Send in a Humper Chat over at humperchats.com. We also have Super Chats over at youtube.com. I don't know exactly when the integration will be fully on board, but we have joined Blue Wire Podcasts. I am so excited to do that. I want to thank Red Circle for being an incredible partner for the last 4 years. I want to take a couple minutes to speak about that. I know the vast majority of you watch our video podcasts. I understand that. We are on podcast platforms everywhere, but our audio end made $0 for the first 5 years of Fightful until Red Circle hit us up and said, hey, we want you on our platform. We will help sell ads for you, and we will monetize your show. And that helped change Fightful significantly. Obviously, nowhere anywhere resembling what we do from direct advertisements or Fightful Select, but I just want to thank them for being a lovely partner for the last 4 years, and I am very excited to join Blue Wire, where my good friends Chris Van Vliet and Denise Salcedo are as well. I've also joined, and Fightful have joined Buckwald Agency, of which both of those wonderful people are with as well. So happy to be with a couple people that I like, with some people that I trust. But we will be on podcast platforms everywhere, just as usual. We're going through a bit of a transition there in doing that. I see people saying were WWE dropping Cross hints tonight. So let's talk about that. Get your super chats, get your Humper Chats in. Oh, man. This story is wild. And I've got a lot of things to say about this because I think that this particular story and situation is reflective of a lot of the way that people consume media as well. So let's go through the facts of the situation. The facts of the situation are, Karrion Kross and Scarlett's contracts are up with WWE. That was confirmed to me within the company. They did expire. There was some communication regarding possibly retaining Kross. I'm not going to say that that is completely like... I don't think that that's like completely out of the question. However, how should I put this? It seems like they didn't anticipate him to get the reactions that he got while he was getting them. As best I can say is that I wouldn't say that the ship has sailed on him coming back to the company. And honestly, I think WWE is his best option. AAA would almost certainly be interested in Scarlett and Kross, but they're owned by WWE. TNA has a partnership there, but Carlos Silva told me directly, no ill will, and if we feel like he's a good fit, seems like something that they would be open to. MLW runs like once a month. AEW, I would find it very unlikely that they bring him in. New Japan doesn't have a U.S. wing, so I think that this is legitimately his best option. And WWE gets a cut of his books and stuff like that as well. They did launch new merch, but they did communicate with him about possibly returning as of last week. Now, what was said in those conversations, I can't really speak to. But obviously, it didn't go well enough for him to stay there. Now, there's a lot of people saying, well, it's a work. It's a work. It could become one, but I want to make it clear. Like, as of this moment, it isn't. And as of Sunday, it wasn't. Like, that's just the nature of where they were. Now, were they dropping hints? That I don't know. It might have been people that just like him in the company making some little comments. Dave Costas didn't hear any cross chants tonight. I didn't either. And I don't think, and listen, I don't want to speak for Cross, but if he's the same guy that I interviewed all those times, I don't think he would want his coworkers to like have "we want Cross" chants over top of them. And he says, "Disappointing, as you know, I was enthralled with his doc and genuinely rooting for him. I am too." So let's talk about that element of it, because listen, I have found Cross to be a fascinating supporting character within the constructs of WWE. And the way that some people who I consider very smart people that act like he is Ricky Ortiz in the ring, it's baffling to me. Do I think that he is great in the ring? I don't. There's some Bloodsport matches I like. There's some stuff in NXT I like. I thought he had some passable matches in WWE. But what I see of him, he is a very low-maintenance character for that show, of which he can pop on the screen for a couple minutes, get some reactions, help somebody else's angle, and get himself over as well. I saw people today claiming that, like, Minoru Suzuki hated him, which, like, and buried him because they had a bad match. And I'm like, guys, if you all think that Minoru Suzuki gives a damn about the quality of his match, go watch him and Butterbean. It's just not rooted in reality. I have saw some very usually reasonable people that cannot understand the concept of people liking a character that they don't like and an element of wrestling of which they don't like. And that's, you know, somewhat surprising to me. I mean, listen, there are a lot of people whose strong suit was not in the ring that I've looked at and said, well, they're useful as characters. Karrion Kross within WWE is absolutely one of those characters. Like, you need people like that, that even if WWE doesn't plan for them to be world champions or be in a world title picture, I've always felt like two of the most underutilized characters were Just Joe and Sean O'Hare. And what they brought, because they didn't have to go over in order for what they did to affect other people. Just Joe was like a gossip, and Sean O'Hare was like the devil's advocate, right? And this was sort of a combination of those two. But like, you would have people swear that like he was physically writing the stories. Had people say, I've never seen a free agency covered this much. Go look at Adam Cole when WWE forgot to renew his contract. Go look at Bryan Danielson. Go look at those. Go look at Natalya when his deal came up very, very shortly, or very, very quickly. And as it came together and came down to the wire, a lot of those that came down to the wire are very, very similar to that, because we get here's the order of how it happens. We find out they're in a contract year. We find out that time is ticking. We find out if they've been offered a new deal. We find out if their contract is up and where they're going. Ricochet is another good example. Whole lot. But I would imagine he's probably going to get some bookings. If I were him, I would get on the signing circuit right now while you're hot, make some money, promote your book, all that. Hope that I get to talk to him about the book. But there were a lot of weird approaches there. And like, if you don't like him in the ring, that's fine. I completely get that. I can absolutely understand that. Even if you don't like him as a character, I get it. But to act like there is no use for a character like that. Very, very. And Love Dog says, no disrespect to the wrestling media, but coverage of Cross is mind boggling to me. It's like if Roman Reigns is leaving, that's asinine. All due respect, that is completely asinine. And I just gave you a whole bunch of examples. Ricochet, Natalya, like there were some higher end wrestlers that got coverage like that. There are a number of other wrestlers. Go back and look at the coverage of when Ryback, Jack Swagger, Wade Barrett, and Cody Rhodes all had asked for their release, and Brandy within I think a year of one another, and the process around that. And subsequently, let me tell you, Cody Rhodes was not the Cody Rhodes of today, and he got a ton of coverage. A ton of coverage. So I just think that is completely, completely like not true. Absolutely not true. Man, Tim Traver. Yeah, Alberto, there you go. How many times have we had to cover Alberto and his contract status? Know what I mean? Like, a lot. Well, listen, this banner is going to be running down at the bottom of my show throughout this episode. I want to thank this gentleman, Tim Traver, a wonderful friend of mine. He says, "Hey, SRS, Monday Night Raw was amazing. Hope everyone's having an amazing week. Middle or late December or early part of January, more information on my podcast." This gentleman is a diecast car connoisseur and has just a wealth of content on his YouTube, on Facebook, and the like. Man, Tim, I just want to say I appreciate you. Because of people like you, we are able to do what we do. And I just want to say thank you, man. You have supported us a very long time. And it is not lost on me, man. Any chats you want to send in for the rest of the show, Tim, you ain't got to super chat them. I'll just ask Luis to like put them aside and we will read them, my friend. Dave Koss says, question for you, Sean. How do you weigh character work versus the actual in-ring in terms of wrestling importance? I think for some act, one matters more than the other. A wrestling show needs both. It does need both. And definitely Koss's character work significantly higher than his in-ring work. But the character seems to be the thing that is lacking the most in pro wrestling today. You have a whole lot of phenomenal in-ring performers that cannot connect with that character. So I think that you're able to do a little bit more with the character, and you're able to add some smoke and mirrors and stuff like that. But I think that a wrestling show does need both. And I think that Koss found a way to do that without intruding on too many, like anybody else's time. Kyle the Ginger says Koss was so smart when it came to social media. Hope for nothing but the best for him and Scarlett. As do I. So he also got himself over with his personality. Like when Miz got kidnapped, he and Scarlett did those videos and a lot of stuff like that. And people saw his personality that you didn't see with the bald guy who just says TikTok over and over again. I think that went a long way. And for the people that are still saying this is a work, explain to me what the benefit would be of him doing that hour-long documentary and then saying, "Hey, you know that interview I did with Sam Roberts after WrestleMania that you all thought was like me being real? That was actually a complete work. And I want to make sure that not only do you all know that, but everybody in WWE knows that." See what I mean? Like, I understand that there are a lot of things that people say are like, "Oh, well, this screams work to me." There's certainly elements of that, but they took measures, as we reported on FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business. There were things they did that they haven't worked before. Removing people from the internal roster, some emails that went out. Now, I want to say this. I do not put it past WWE to eventually do that, but that is not this situation. Right now, Koss is a free agent. If they wanted him to pop up on any TV show this week, he's able to. Love Dog says, "Thought Raw was pretty good tonight. I found it largely pointless." Largely pointless. Love Dog says, "One thing you and Tyrese Halliburton have in common is you both got Ibu to turn the camera on." So I want to say shout out to Selfmade. That it was such an incredible get. They had Tyrese Halliburton, megastar of the Indiana Pacers, on their show. That is a phenomenal get. And what I'll tell you, a thing I loved about that is you saw the regard that people in wrestling have for Eboo. I've been telling y'all about that for a long time. Like, there are a lot of people in wrestling that reach out to Eboo. That man is still one of the best analysts out there, and incredibly happy for that gentleman and that whole group. Derek says, what do you think about Bret Hart's comments about chops in wrestling? He said, Gunther is unprofessional. Okay. So, Derek, I have my own feeling on chops. I love Gunther's. He does his in a way that makes you go, oh, my God, that could work in any moment. But my big issue isn't with Gunther's chops. It's with chops in general. And you might go, Sean, what the hell are you talking about? Why? Think about this. Why are chops a thing? If you had an open shot at somebody, why wouldn't you punch him in the face, elbow him in the face? The reason chops became a thing is because closed fist punches are supposed to be illegal in pro wrestling. Well, why are closed fist punches supposed to be illegal? Because they're dangerous, because they knock people out, because they bust your eyes, they make you bleed. But in pro wrestling, that almost never happens. Speedball Mike Bailey and I had a wonderful conversation about this in a recent interview. Please go check it out. But if you can just punch people, why aren't you just punching people? It's because they don't enforce that. Frustrating. Cross says, or Vic says, Cross works the indies for the next few months for Buzz, returns to the surprise Rumble entry. Sammy eliminates him for the win, basically how they should have handled Punk in 2011. I don't think they will go as far as to put Cross as like the last person in the Rumble, but I could absolutely see Cross working the indies, continuing his buzz, and then them bringing him in for a Rumble spot and Sammy eliminating him. Can we talk about the real big news? Taylor Swift rumored to be announcing a new album tonight. I saw she's on the Kelsey podcast. I saw she's doing that as well. Doja Cat's going to have a new album soon, though. She did that single teaser. Damon says, with the brand split not really meaning anything these days, I'd love to see Andrade and Rey Fénix help even the odds with Penta versus New Day and Waller. As would I. I mean, I promise, guys, I'm asking about a draft. I ask about it all the time. But I wouldn't. I mean, at this point, yeah, who cares? I just wish that brand split like would extend to like somebody like Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre who can just pop back up on Raw. That's what I would like. Those are some of the people I want to see on Raw, but I would love Andrade and Rey Fénix to help with Penta. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense to not, if Rey Fénix is going to be in a tag team, why not with Penta? What are you doing with Penta better than that, right?
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Man. Well, on this show, I will get to the opening and main event segment, but we had Dominic Mysterio and El Grande Americano defeating AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. So backstage, El Grande Americano is in the room with Judgment Day. And Finn Balor's like, dude, we don't like him. We don't want him here. And he's like, no, I got to keep him close for Triple Mania this weekend. And that is one of my most anticipated matches of the summer, because I want to see what happens with Dominic, because I see him as probably a big player in AAA moving forward. But El Grande reaches all the way down in his trunk. That's going to be a meme, him fondling around on his nuts to find a steel plate. Did he kiss it too? That was gross. And then he got kicked and dropped it, and Dominic put it under a mask and headbutted. I can't remember who he headbutted, but he headbutted somebody, by God, and won. So also a takeaway, Dragon Lee has the best double stomp in how he sets it up, because he doesn't give the person a lot of time to just hang out there. But Dominic picking up the win over Dragon Lee. Listen, I'm okay with this, and him cheating all the time is something I'm cool with. You guys know I've been wanting him to do this Eddie Guerrero-esque storyline. I feel like that's just going to make the audience love him even more, in my opinion. Luis notes that there's no hair versus hair, mask versus mask match at Triple Mania, which is extremely odd. Biggest show in AAA without a yearly staple and a tradition is the weirdest situation or decision imaginable. That is. I thought that they were going to do something mask related for CMLL and mask related. For All In to help move some tickets. Noy says, love seeing Dom get the Stone Cold pop in AAA. He's going to do really, really good there. Very clearly going to do really good there. Triple Mania will be on YouTube this weekend, by the way. Follow Fightful Espanol. We're still working on getting that Twitter account back, hopefully soon. But Bad Robot says, taking a bit of a break from WWE, wanted to send some support for keeping me informed. Hey, Bad Robot, I hope you're doing good. Hope your family's doing good. I just wanted to say that. I know you were going through a tough time. He said, hoping the best for Cross and Scarlett. They seem nice. Love y'all. They're lovely. I do love doing interviews with Cross. We love to talk catch-as-catch-can wrestling and MMA-related stuff. Oh, man. I see Luis is going off about a build for Abismo Negro Jr. Versus Fisca. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. A build for a full year only for it not to get put on the full show. What are we doing? Well, listen, if you've been building and building and building and you're worried about not making the big show, you're worried about not having that performance, you're worried about not having that tact, so to speak, use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. That's right. Get that main event level dong. It's not going to be a AAA level. It'll be a major league level dong with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. It's not about having a problem. Sometimes it's about having that confidence, the confidence that you will be able to perform. And you might say, Sean, this is very awkward. I'm watching this with my family. Well, guess what? Your family won't know when you go to bluechew.com and use the code Fightful, because you speak to one of their online physicians, and if approved, Blue Chew ships straight to your door. First shipment free. It's on us. Just pay $5 shipping, and you are going to be good to go. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. You don't have to wait in line at the doctor's office. You are main event level. You won't have to wear a mask around out of shame. You'll feel really good about yourself when you use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Just saying, guys. Become a lot more than a lucha legend with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. I want to thank them so much. They've been our sponsors for eight years now. Man. Yeah, it is an El Grande Americano. They'll think you're switching bodies when you use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. I'm glad it went for well wishes to my family to massive dong. You know what would make your family really happy? If they knew that you were performing well. Right? Zane asked Sheamus to not get involved. I mean, listen, you're special. Someone might be asking people to get involved just to spread the word with Blue Chew. Sheamus agrees. And then Sami Zayn ends up beating Rusev. First, I'll talk about the spot in the match. Rusev does the 10 beats to kind of troll Sheamus. And Sheamus had said beforehand, buddy, as soon as that match is over, I'm going to whip his ass. Well, because Sami Zayn beat Solo Sikoa in a non-title match, which had to happen, right? Always got to have your champs taking L's. Can't have your champs mean a damn thing. MFTs come down and we get a DQ. I'm going to save my DQ rant for the end of the show. I'll save that. Pierce is calling all this. He's not happy about this. I'm looking at it and I'm like, are we about to see Sami Zayn like join with like Rusev and Sheamus and somebody else? Like, are they? Could we see that? Because I would kind of like to see that against the MFT. It's probably going to be Jay and Jimmy or somebody like that. It's probably what it's going to be. It's probably going to be Bloodline versus MFTs. And Adam Pearce like ejects everybody. And okay. All right. But Sammy wanted a title match. So you know Sammy's about to be very pissed off with how the world title match plays out tonight, which I'm actually very interested in. Because there's going to be a fatal four-way. We'll talk more about that later. But Sami Zayn was asking for a world title match. And like, let's look at Sami Zayn and his recent history. And I'm going to have to go through hoops. Oh my gosh, they actually went to the right cage match page. So like, let's look at Sami Zayn of late. My God. He beat Rusev via DQ. He beat Solo Sikoa, the U.S. champion. He beat Karrion Kross. Now, before that, he had been taking quite a few L's. Quite a few L's. But of late, like, you could argue Kross, Sikoa, Rusev, back to back to back. That's a pretty hot streak right there. Like, you could see that and say, if they added him to that match, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Like, three wins in a row over talent imposing of that caliber on this show makes a lot of sense. And he needed that in order to be able to justify that, because otherwise he hadn't won a ton of late. Thank you, Evil Diva, for becoming a YouTube member. Yeah, it'll probably be MFT versus Sammy, Jacob, and Jimmy ending in interference and Tama Tonga, because it's how all these go, say Louis. Yeah, Louis. And then, yeah, maybe Jey Uso joins them after all that. Okay. So Adam Pearce is ejecting everyone. And you got New Day and Grayson Waller there. And they are not happy about Penta. I believe they said that he should be banned from wearing hats as well, which was really good. We've got Woods versus Penta set for next week. Well, set for tonight was Naomi versus Io Sky for the world title. So this is why I'm willing to give this show a little bit of slack. They had a major world title match that almost certainly was going to end in DQ. But a major world title match, and I don't have information on Naomi yet. I was told it's legit, whatever it is, but I have not found any other details or how serious it is. Hopefully not very serious. Naomi is on the best run of her career. I want to send well wishes to her, but Naomi and Io doesn't happen. So whoever wrote this promo for Io, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, they had her go there and say, no, I want the match that I deserve. And it's like, bro, Naomi's hurt. Like, come on. It's okay if you doubt her within the context of kayfabe. But like, what the hell? Instead, Raquel and Roxanne come up and troll her a little bit. Kabuki Warriors are backstage as well. A match is set for Io versus Roxanne. And let me tell you, I already think that Io Sky is the most consistent high-level in-ring performer for WWE this year. She is unbelievable. Roxanne Perez, if given those same opportunities, I think would be right up there as well. Roxanne Perez is so very clearly a main level performer. To what I believe can eventually be equal footing with Io Sky. This match was so goddamn good. Dave Koss says, Io, Roxy, unsurprisingly ruled. Have Io in my top three in-ring, regardless of gender. We'll stand on that. Wanted Io Asuka to be the program at SummerSlam, but now I'll take it. Thrilled with the direction. I am too. Now, we did get an interference finish. Womp, womp, womp. You know, you got plenty of those. Three of them tonight. But everything that happened before the wonky interference was phenomenal. Even the botch was good. So you got Roxanne doing like the super hurricane rana. She's got those dope ass cartwheel knees, but she had a move that was reminiscent of Trish Mickey at Mania. When you remember when Mickey dropped Trish's leg over the top rope, Roxanne did that, but it was like with, I think she had a hold of Io's hair. It was so good. Roxanne gets it on so many different levels. And Roxanne Perez is a person where anytime you've heard me talk about her, if they would have brought her, keep in mind, she's 23 years old. When they signed her to WWE in March 2022, and if they would have brought her straight to Raw or SmackDown, she would have been fine. Over 3 years ago, almost 3.5 years ago. She had already done TNA stuff. She'd been working Ring of Honor for a year prior to that. She'd become Ring of Honor champion. I mean, Booker T and Reality of Wrestling, they did their job there. She has been on TV her entire adult life. And boy, does that experience show at such a high level. 4.5 years she has been on TV, and she looks like she has been on TV for a decade. She's incredible. Incredible. Right now, as of this moment, there have been no men's world champions on Raw or SmackDown that were born, I don't believe, after 1987. I think Gunther's the youngest. Am I wrong? I know none in the 90s. Roxanne Perez, within a year, could like completely stomp that. And there are plenty of the women. Like, you know, there's Rhea and Liv and Tiffany, but Roxanne was born in the 2000s, for the love of God. Roxanne Perez was not alive for the invasion angle. Dominic is IC champ, not world champ. So also, fortunate that everybody's okay, but Io went and did the moonsault, ended up stomping on Roxanne's chest, face, but she ended up okay. And then Roxanne gets the win because the Kabuki Warriors try to interfere. So now I'm like, okay, well, does Io Sky still deserve a title shot? And if not, why isn't Roxanne already in there? Why isn't she going to be in there? All good, Drucifer. All good. Dave Koss says, looking forward to seeing Rhea and Io working programs away from the title. Do not want to see Rhea, Io versus Kabuki Warriors. Feed me the singles matchups. It seems like the natural course of direction that a lot of people go into once they have exhausted their singles runs is tag team. But there are mid-card titles now. I would like to see some of these world title level talent going for those as well. That's what I would like to see. Dave Koss is looking forward to seeing Io and, we read that one. Rhea and Steph do both confront Io respectively. with Io telling Rhea to stay out of it. Yeah, look at the stars are out tonight. Corey Hayes, the Wrestling Classic. I would just like to see Becky involved in literally anything away from the title. I think that's okay. And I think they kind of nerfed Rhea a lot this year with the way that they presented her. They had her complaining a lot. And somebody that looks and performs like Rhea Ripley should not be complaining at all. She should just be whooping ass. Just whooping ass. And the loaded talent level of this women's roster is psychotic. Psychotic. And I think that WWE Raw has been doing, quite frankly, an exceptional job of building some underneath stories and developing some more, one of which I am ready to talk about with Becky Lynch and Maxine Dupree. As Vin says, loving the more intricate women's storytelling. Does Rhea help Io against the Kabuki Warriors? I think so. I think it's one of those, like, why the hell are you getting involved in this? I told you not to get involved in this. I don't want to be your partner. You don't want to be my partner. They've gone to that well a lot with Rhea, but it seems to work an awful lot. Damn, she wasn't there to see Toy Story 2 in theaters. But let's talk about the intricate women's storytelling. Buddy, just like the Cross stuff earlier, when I say, hey guys, I like this person that some people don't like. People are like, must be your source. Oh, they suck. Well, guess what? The Karrion Kross character stuff hasn't sucked. And then anytime I say, hey, maybe use Maxine Dupree and Natalya, people are like, ah, they must be your sources. They must be it. Maybe I just want them to use the people they got under contract, like in the tag team division or in this intercontinental title division, or I don't know, like in that United States title division that they just completely ignore. Well, tonight they did that. And what I will say is Maxine is nowhere near ready for long matches on the main roster. I admire the fact that she has been training, but like the kick missed by a mile. She's a wonderful character. I wouldn't mind seeing her continue to sharpen things from a tag team perspective. But this was a reason why I thought that, honestly, that she probably should have went to the whole Alpha Academy, could have went to NXT. Because Otis, he'd be good there. Tozawa could be a workhorse machine there. And you could get Maxine Dupree some good reps there as well. And on live events there, of which she clearly needs. Because at this point, she has been wrestling on TV for 2 years, and the matches, even when you're facing top-notch level talent, is still not good. And also, Becky should not need to hold the ropes to beat Maxine Dupree in a match. She didn't. She ended up getting the submission win. And this is clearly a means to get to Natalya and Becky, or Natalya and Becky, because Natalya tended to Maxine after the match, which was like 5.5 minutes, right? Like 5.5 minutes, which, by the way, has been the typical length of match that they have been giving Maxine in recent months. And I mean, like, to a degree of where I'm going, like, are they telling her to go out there and practice 5-minute matches? Because if you go back and look, Zoe, Ivy, another Ivy on main event, a tag match against Carmen and Lainey on main event, and then this one, all between 5, 5.5 minutes. And again, I think where WWE feels is like not a lot can go wrong in 5.5 minutes. And I just want to say, this don't rank on the worst 100 WWE matches I've ever seen. So, like, I saw a million more matches in, like, the 2000s and early 2010s, especially within the Divas division, that were not, that were worse than this. This wasn't offensive. It's just clear that Maxine is not ready for singles matches like that. I have a lot more trust when she has somebody like Natalya there. She's got a lot of charisma. She's got something to her. She's also got the ability to make you, she garners sympathy really well also, but needs a lot of seasoning, needs a lot of work. And they've they very clearly pick their spots with her on this. Like, listen, I'm the only person that watches Main Event. So I'm the only person that's going to be talking about her facing Ivy Nile and those matches. But other than that, she has not had a singles Raw match in a year, and it went a minute and a half. Like, her matches do not go long. They don't. And she needs those reps. KE775 says, nice of Becky to give Maxine an opportunity, but hey, should have just had Becky wrestle Natalya tonight. Well, I don't mind that they did this. Again, I've seen far worse matches. I think Becky held it together very, very well. She did her job there. But I look at this and I'm like, okay, this was a means to get to the Natalya thing. And I want to see Natalya have an honest to God match with Becky Lynch that showcases what we have seen outside of WWE. I liked her match with Masha. I liked her match with Promise Braxton. I loved her match with Miyu Yamashita. What I saw of the match with Kenzie Page was really good. And that's what I want to see here. But what I also want to see is it make sense. How do they justify giving Natalya? How did they justify Maxine getting an IC title shot tonight? That was unusual. Don't know about that one. How do they justify giving Natalya a title shot? I don't know. But I'm hopeful that she gets a match. A good match. Give her 8 to 10. Bailey vignette. This kicked ass. Dave Koss says, intriguing Bailey vignette. She has a long leash with me creatively, so whatever this is, I'm into it. Broken Bailey, did you dig it? I loved it. Loved it. Bailey said she can't remember the last time that she felt proud of herself. And whew, it echoes a lot of the sentiments that you feel online, like her being out of WrestleMania and being, she out of SummerSlam too. Oh, Jesus, out of SummerSlam as well. Like, you feel for Bailey. You felt for her for a long time because she got left off of the WrestleMania card years ago when she was the glue of the WWE's pandemic era. They trusted her with everything. They trusted her with singles, with tag, with main event level stuff, with hosting their promo shows, all that stuff. So all this, I think, really, really resonates. I think that this is very good. Vin says, you'll know the Scarlet Cross thing is legit if she opens up an OnlyFans, or if it's a work, they'd be smart to go down that road to play into the shoot. Well, they already opened a pro wrestling tease, which, let me tell you, and WWE is as big of an offense as opening up an OnlyFans. I don't have a comment on that one way or another. If she does, I hope she does massively successful with it. We have a Bronson Reed vignette where he calls out Roman Reigns. This is, I do like this because, like, you have, clearly they're not going to have Bronson Reed pin Roman Reigns. They can't ever have that happen, right? So what they do is they have him steal Roman Reigns' shoes, which, you know, I got to say is a very creative way to add a level of disrespect because, listen, you know how it is. You get those shoes stolen, thrown across the power lines. That is a huge sign of disrespect. And Bronson Reed is so entertaining with the Shula Fala. Oh, it's really good. Really, really good. I am digging this big time. But I'll tell you what else I'm digging, guys. In addition to Tim Traver on Twitter and on YouTube, check out the Diecast Collective. And thank you so much for your donation, Tim. I want to shout him out a couple times throughout this show. But listen, guys, lots of stuff is changing. Today, WWE, you know, I want to know how you guys feel about the ESPN UFC or the UFC Paramount deal. For those that don't know, UFC pay-per-views have been like increasing in price. Been a big reason I've been promoting NordVPN.com/Fightful, which I'll tell you about momentarily. But I stopped covering MMA full-time, I want to say 2020. Let me tell you, my quality of life shot through the roof. It was, you know how we would always complain, like, man, this AEW show went so long. Man, WrestleMania went so long years ago. That's every Saturday for the UFC. And since then, I have not really followed UFC. There isn't a crazy amount of star power. I was talking with a wrestler today, a WWE wrestler who had said, you know, now when I hear buzz about an MMA fighter, it's about them being a Nazi or like some sort of sexual assault charge or something crazy that they said. And it's like, could you imagine George St. Pierre doing that? Like the craziest stuff was John Jones going crazy or the occasional drug test or Conor McGregor would fly off the handle like 10 plus years ago, right? And there were stars aplenty. And honestly, when TKO took over and they let Francis Ngannou walk out the door, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't like this. But what they have done is land a huge $7.7 billion deal with Paramount and CBS. It does make me wonder if the cards will be on a little bit earlier. But also, UFC lost their motivation to really sell great pay-per-views for a long time because they were making a flat fee from ESPN. They didn't want to rely on their own promotional ability. And yes, the talent in the cage is very stacked. The star power is not on the level of which it used to be. And yes, Ilya is great. Ilya is great. DDP is great. There are some really great ones. But you're talking about 10 to 15 years ago, it was GSP, Anderson Silva, John Jones, Rampage Jackson. Like there were Brock Lesnar. There was a ton of stars. This is a great opportunity for the UFC because now there is no ESPN Plus paywall plus $80 pay-per-view paywall standing in the way of visibility. Big fight nights are going to become a big thing. Now, also, the UFC Apex is expanding from like to host like 5 to 10,000 people, which I think is wonderful. We'll talk more about that on the hump this week with Jimmy Van. But I'm interested in how that makes you all feel about WWE going to ESPN. I'm very, very interested about that because not all cable subscribers are going to get access. They were very careful to say traditional cable subscribers will get access to this ESPN DTC. Everybody else has got to pay pay $30. Somebody said John Jones didn't sell pay-per-views. Buddy, him and Cormier sold 800,000. Him and Cormier 2 sold like 850. Him and Gustafson sold 700,000. Him and Rashad Evans, 700. You ain't gonna pull that one on me, buddy. I covered him. Covered virtually his whole career outside of like one fight. Yeah. I think he had two fights that I wasn't a full-time coverage guy for. He was not a million seller pay-per-view, but he was an exceptional pay-per-view draw. Now, let me tell y'all a little something. Pay-per-views for WWE are about to go from $5 or $10 to $30 a month effectively. Unless you got that NordVPN.com/Fightful, my friends. Get that NordVPN.com/Fightful. I know WWE is on a lot of platforms, but NordVPN.com/Fightful is a couple bucks a month. And virtually everybody has Netflix anyway, right? So instead of paying that $30, you got that $2-3 for NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get a Amazon gift card after a month or so. Change your virtual location, log into your Netflix, and you're good to go. And Peacock's about to raise their prices too. I got the hiccups during a Nord read. And you might say, Sean, I don't know if I'll be able to figure this out. Let me tell you guys, I am not that technologically inclined. It was very easy. You subscribe, you download the app, you change your virtual location, you log into Netflix, there they are. You're good to go. But if you can't figure it out, they got 24/7 tech support to help you out. You choose a plan, use NordVPN, get rewarded with an Amazon gift card. Man, listen to your favorites abroad, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. It's available on all your devices. Somebody says, aren't WVPLEs included with a cable package for free like YouTube TV? Not like YouTube TV. Not traditional cable. Listen, this guy's just trolling now. He's going to say, I'm going to say Cormier sold those fights more. So no comparative. He did not sell. Yes, John Jones was a significant pay-per-view draw. Did Alexander Gustafsson sell his pay-per-view? Come on now. Come on now. He was not on the level of GSP, was not on the level of Brock Lesnar, but he was a significant one. Think they're doing a broken Bayley gimmick? I hope so. I want to see her doing something substantial. And Dave Koss says, is it giving WWE too much credit to say leaving Bayley off Mania SummerSlam provides the motivation for it? I'm sure they'll tell us that. Oh, they are. Okay, fair point. This person, fair point. Anyway, no, I don't think that, it will be on screen, but it wasn't like the plan. There was no grand creative genius to be like, you know what we're going to do? So I wish I had Eboo here to do the Triple H impersonation. So what we're going to do is we're going to leave Bayley off of WrestleMania, and then we're going to leave her off SummerSlam, and then she's going to be really motivated. It's going to be a multi-layered character. This is what we do. No. But they use history. By all means, use history. They didn't plan for Cross to go away. If he comes back, play off of history. CM Punk cuts a promo. He's interrupted by LA Knight, who I immediately have problems with the fact that he doesn't have problems with CM Punk. So LA Knight's like, here, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to forget that last week happened. And Punk's like, you should be thanking me because I saved your career. And here has always been my line of thinking for whether or not a talent should be upset over interference in that situation. Does that talent believe that they have more than a 0% chance to win the world title? Did LA Knight believe that even though he's about to get stomped, he has a better opportunity of winning that championship on that night than getting his head caved in, coming back and winning it later? And LA Knight, the character, seemed like he leaned into that an awful lot. It was like, maybe. But he doesn't want CM Punk being like, no, I did you a favor for it. Because CM Punk wasn't doing that to save him. He was doing that to screw over Rollins. That's the reality, right? Vin says, for the Triple H impression, oh, I've got far better ones, that's for sure. Braun Breaker was hilarious in this segment. Hilarious. He's like, you're 47. What are you going to do? You're 40. He like remembers that LA Knight is 40. And you're 40. And then he does some math. Combined, you're 100. Like 100. You're old. What are you going to do? This ruled. And I'm like, how can they come back from that? I've talked about Cross so goddamn much. Knight and Punk are looking at each other like, how do we come back from that? Like, we are old. We are definitely old. Now, granted, 87 is not 100, right? Like, it's not 100. It's 13 away from 100. But it is not 100. But that was hilarious. So I'll answer this question and plug NordVPN.com/Fightful. No, it's not $30 per PLE, just to be clear. It's $30 per month for that. But it's a lot less if you just get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Bob says, I'm a man. I'm 40. That is a great coaching situation. I still, like, my wife will recite to me playoffs often. Seth Rollins leaves the building. We have LA Knight and Punk versus Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. And guys, this is going to shock you all. Dave Cost says, a DQ on WWE TV? No way. Parker Hines says, should I do a drinking game for the amount of interference finishes I've seen? Probably not, because I'll get hammered. Buddy, you will die if you do that. You will need your stomach pumped. Four straight weeks in the main event of WWE Raw, there's been a DQ. And he said, Jeremy Lambert says, WCW once went 8 straight weeks with a DQ finish in the main event on Nitro. 8 straight weeks. Who gets over? Whoever gets over? Who? Also, I want to shout out Jeremy Lambert and Joel Pearl in the weeds this week. All super chats from In the Weeds on Fightful Overbooked go to C4 Wrestling's Fighting Back, which benefits the Canadian Cancer Society. You can also donate directly. I have retweeted Joel Pearl's tweet. Please check that out, guys. But another freaking DQ. Now, I understand that this week, WWE got screwed because they had planned on a big world title match with Naomi. And that's unfortunate that she got hurt. And that sucks. But 4 straight weeks of DQ finishes is unnecessary. It is creatively bankrupt is what it is. I get frustrated when, like, any match in AEW ends in a DQ, much less this. And John Bain says they're on 6 of the last 7 main events of DQ on Raw and SmackDown. Yeah, like 2 out of the last 3 or 2 out of the last 4 on SmackDown are also DQs. And the only reason another one wasn't is because they couldn't, I don't think, end it in DQ. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I can't tell you how important that is. Leave a comment on this video. If you are new to youtube.com/Fightful, we have a bunch of videos. You can check out our playlists that have a whole lot of great stuff where I talk about, I do Fightful Studios stuff. We do Fightful Presents, which are like little info docs. We've got daily news shows. We got a bunch of shorts as well that you guys are going to like. We have interviews, all that. Of course, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. Have contract news coming tomorrow. I don't feel like I have plugged the website as much as I should, but Fightful.com. We've also got more free content than anywhere else in wrestling, but please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It's $5.99 a month. Valob says, Dairy Queen needs that WWE sponsorship. I'm trying to get a LASIK sponsorship with the ref distractions, but I've liked Adam Pearce over the last couple of weeks. After all this time, I've complained about his character not maintaining a lot of authority in the face of heels taking advantage of him. We have seen that happen a lot more lately. Like him throwing everybody out of the building and him setting up this fatal four-way. So Seth Rollins hears that Jey Uso is getting a world title match. He goes, I see what he's doing. And then LA Knight and CM Punk get added to it. And I mean, we know what's going to happen, right? Like Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed are going to get involved in this match and interfere because there's no DQ. Why wouldn't they? They're absolutely getting involved in this match. For sure get involved in this match. It's a fascinating match. But, yeah. Ah, man. The match is going to be good, too, I think. And also, it's a great way of keeping Punk involved in the title scene without having him win it. LA Knight is in this situation where his fans are still very passionate and he's still very, very over. And I had been, I don't know if you guys caught that on my SummerSlam live stream I did on FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business. People were like, well, what does he do? And I'm like, guys, I think he's still going to be in the world title scene. That's how over LA Knight is right now. He's still got to be involved in the title scene somehow. And I honestly think within the next year and a half, he might get like a short run. I think it's really possible. Interview with Templario coming out this week on Fightful Espanol on Facebook and IG. Terry Allen Jr. says, ding dong, I heard during the vignette. Yes. Yeah. So, want to answer this very generous super chat from Vin. And yeah, I'm happy to talk about this. SRS, what's your take on the Rollins work? Seems to have riled up a couple of your peers. Meltzer wants an apology. Mike Johnson seems pretty ticked and says this could cause trust issues with talent. Where do you land? Well, I did not hear that Meltzer wants an apology. I have not heard that. I don't know if anybody can verify that, but I don't want to speculate that. Mike Johnson is probably ticked because he had said that it was real. All due respect to Mike. There's a very, very specific way, if you go back and look at how I worded things, because there is always the possibility of this being a work. So when I reported it, I said it's being treated as serious backstage. They worked the medics. They worked producers. They worked writers. They worked talent. I don't know who all like around the match was involved in it. Like I have no idea if like LA Knight was in on it even. I don't know that. I know that backstage, Rollins was scheduled as supposed to win that match. He was backstage on crutches because he knew that would get out. But I mean, I didn't say, sit there and say, hey, guys, he's definitely injured. I said he's backstage on crutches. Report things as they happen. I didn't have an issue with it. I don't have a problem with what he did. I don't have a problem with that sort of new kayfabe because were people concerned about him? Yes, including, and I'll wait for Unreal to come out, but like, I think you all will be shocked at what point some people knew. I'll say that. Now, by Tuesday, I had said, yeah, this seems like a Machiavelli situation. Him going on Rich Eisen while he's got his knee injury. That's when, to me, I was like, okay, probably a work. But you know what they'll do on Unreal? They'll say, oh my God, we're so much smarter than everybody. And this is, everybody bought it. And I mean, listen, a lot of people kind of knew that was coming, but I don't have that much of a problem with because I mean, listen, John Pollock reported what was going to happen, reported exactly what's going to happen. Now there's people saying when you work the people backstage like that, it's going too far. I understand there are a lot of people that say, don't work the talent, don't work the boys. This is one that affected almost nobody besides Seth Rollins and maybe like Braun and Bronson, but I'm sure they knew. Braun and Bronson almost certainly knew. But like this wasn't a thing where people were going to like, for example, WWE sincerely did not think that CM Punk was coming back until about a week before he came back, right? And talent had been told up until that point he wasn't coming back because they didn't want him back. When he got brought back, there were a lot of people, like when you heard about Seth Rollins being upset and Drew McIntyre being upset, they did not want to be lied to. That was very, very important to them. And I feel like WWE saw that situation and they said, well, if we can get away with that, we can get away with it in other situations. This one, I don't have a problem with. I have a problem when, like, TNA was working the boys on who was going to get a Feast or Fired briefcase, and wrestlers found out they were being fired by the result of the match, which was an actual thing. That's the type of working the talent I have an issue with. No problem whatsoever in, relatively speaking. Does it make my job more difficult? Sure it does. But like, if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? They don't owe me shit. Seth Rollins doesn't owe me shit. WWE doesn't owe me shit. It is my job to find out information as accurately as possible and relay it to you all, hopefully to a level of which you all will pay $5.99 a month for and support our website. So to me, my thing is, do what John Pollock did. Report the story well. I don't have that much of an issue with it, no. Do I think that they're going to do things in the future, like remove people from internal rosters to work people? Yeah, I think that'll happen too. I don't think there are any bounds that this WWE regime specifically will go to show how much smarter they are than fans, media, viewers. Absolutely. But do I have a problem with this? No. No, just do a good job. Do your best. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to get fooled. Sometimes you're going to get worked. And that's okay. You tip your cap and say, I'll go get you the next time. These, and I say this respectfully, are the best liars on the planet. They make you think they are hurt when they are not hurt, and make you think the opposite as well. There are days they can't walk, but they still make it to that ring. And then there are days when they're feeling as good as they felt in years, but it is their job to make it look like they can't. And that's ultimately what you're dealing with there. And good on them. Got no issue. Do you have any details on Naomi? I don't. I heard it was legit. Whatever it was, I just heard it was legit. Don't have any details on severity or anything like that. Guys, this week's hump will be a very good one. We're going to definitely discuss this UFC deal. And you might say, oh, I don't want to talk about that. I don't really care about that. It plays into WWE heavily. I want to thank this gentleman, Tim Traver, who sent an absolutely monster super chat. Follow this gentleman on Twitter. Check him out on YouTube. If for some reason you like die-cast cars, he does too, by God. He's going to bring a podcast. He's going to do an awful lot of stuff. Tim, if I can help you out with that, let me know how. But check out his content on YouTube. Subscribe to him. Leave him a thumbs up. That helps out a lot. I dropped my Q&A show over on FightfulSelect.com today. Check that out. Got a Q&A article every day on FightfulSelect.com. It's been lovely talking to you guys. We're out.